Well, we could spend some time for just a public reading of scripture this morning, reading about Luke's account of the resurrection. Just read through that section and meditate on it, read it together. And we'll start right before Luke 24 and Luke 23, verse 50. Let's start there. We can pray before we start. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you that he is a risen Savior. Lord, he stands apart from all other false gods and religious leaders of the of history, Lord, and that he rose and defeated death. The only one to ever do that. And he is a king, and he is ascended, Lord, and sits at your right hand, Lord, ever making intercession. We thank you for that, Lord. Open our ears as we just read through your word, Lord, and this account. And bless this reading, Father, in Jesus' name. Luke 23, verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. John's account mentions the wrapping used to wrap Christ's head was folded and put in a place separate from all the others. Just pick the picture I love because it's so intentional. Christ knew all this. He knew, obviously, he was going to rise. And he rose, got up, unwrapped himself, folded the covering for his head, set it down, and walked out victorious. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things and that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us, went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. It's kind of amazing. Can you imagine Jesus Christ sitting down with you and going from Moses and interpreting everything ever written about himself and the Psalms and the prophets? Like, sit down for a second. Let's take a moment here. He doesn't just say you're foolish. You don't recognize me. See you later. Or you haven't believed that you've already given up on what I've said and haven't believed what I've said. He sits down and takes them through all the scriptures about him. That's about as good of an interpretation of those scriptures as you can get. So they drew near to the village which they were in which they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name and his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Amen. The witnesses that began from here, continuing to witness of what they saw with Christ, trickle down to us believing this morning in the risen Savior and be tracked all the way back to this point in time. And some doubting disciples were given everything they needed to continue to believe in Christ as he again belabored and walked with them and took them through Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and tied it to how this was all about him and how he was. Look at my hands, look at my feet. I'm risen. I'm the Christ. I'm the Savior. And generations have put their faith in that Savior and leading up to now. And even us here believing on Christ, believing this account that he's risen. He has defeated death and that all who trust in him we'll have victory over the grave and have eternal life with him. So amen. We were blessed. We read this morning with the kids and just we're so blessed just reading through this account. And there's a lot if you go into the other accounts. John has some descriptions that aren't in this one. This is Luke's very detailed, as you know. And then in Matthew and Mark, a few different things you'll see. But John likes to talk about how he ran faster to the grave and how Jesus loved him a lot. But there's a lot of other good things in that too. So I encourage you to read that today. But we serve a risen Savior seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us as we have needs, even this morning, to transition into prayer. Other than thanksgiving that he is risen. Let's tell the kids that if he wouldn't have rose from the dead, he would have been a liar and no one would have believed in him. And he just would have been another man. But that's not the case. So since he has risen,